Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Two lives, two different stories, seemingly very different from one another, and yet in the end, so very much the same. At the center of each story is a sickness that leads to death, and faith that trusts that Jesus is the Savior. Jairus was a religious man, a leader of the synagogue. He was known by many. He had a large house, all the right connections, no shortage of power and influence and financial means. But he had a daughter who, despite his efforts, despite all of his benefits in this life, was at the point of death. He had obviously heard about this Jesus, the traveling teacher and miracle worker, his ability to heal and to cast out demons. And as soon as he learned that Jesus had crossed over the sea and had come to his side, he went to Jesus and fell down at his feet and begged him, "Come and lay your hands on my daughter so that she may be saved and live." He believed that Jesus could save her, and Jesus agreed to help him. Jesus went with him, but because of the great crowd that followed and pressed in on him, they certainly weren't able to move quickly. Jairus must have been frustrated, knowing that at any moment his little girl might breathe her last, and there was nothing that all of the gold or silver or position or authority could do to save her. Many parents know this helpless feeling. His hope rested solely on this traveling miracle worker who was surrounded and slowed by a great crowd who was also seeking his help. But then from moving slowly, they go to moving not at all. Here appears this woman who had been suffering from a discharge of blood. She had been suffering for as many years as Jairus' daughter had been alive. She must have been anemic and sickly. She spent all her money on the doctors, the text tells us, but they hadn't helped her at all. In fact, they had only made things worse. She, too, had heard the stories of Jesus' healing. And though she didn't want to bother him, and though it wasn't even proper for her to speak to him or address him, she was powerless to save herself, and yet she wanted healing. She believed that Jesus could save her, perhaps just a touch. As Jairus had pushed his way through the crowd to get to Jesus, so this lowly woman pushed her way close to Jesus as well. She touched his garment, and as she believed, so it was done for her. Power went out from Jesus, and she was saved from her flow of blood and life of suffering. Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched me?" The disciples heard his question and said, "Look around, Jesus. There's a crowd pressing in on you, and yet you asked, 'Who touched you?'" But Jesus would not move until he found out who it was. The woman knew what had happened. The bleeding had stopped. She knew it. And now Jesus was asking for her. She was afraid, the text says, and yet she found courage and came to him, and like Jairus before her, she fell at his feet and she told him the whole truth. Jesus wasn't upset at her at all. He didn't want his power back. He wasn't looking for remuneration or for credit. He needed to tell her something, or rather, she needed to hear something very important from him. "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Salvation and healing, not just the healing. She needed to hear this benediction. She needed to hear that it is her faith in Christ that brought her to this healing and to salvation. These are not the exact words that you hear at the benediction at the end of the service. But these are no less a benediction, no less important, no less powerful than what Jesus speaks to you This benediction and the ones that you are familiar with are no pious wish. May the Lord bless you and keep you? No. He is promising that He will. This is not just a hopeful sentiment. It's not just a nice way to end the service. The benediction here is a real and present blessing in which God puts His name and His salvation and His peace upon you. The words of the benediction are no less important than the healing that this woman received or the forgiveness that you receive. But even as Jesus spoke this wonderful benediction for this woman, the unnamed woman in the text, words came from Jairus' house that his daughter had died and that he should no longer trouble the teacher. Jairus, like the rest of the crowd, had to be filled with joy that this woman had received healing. He also knew now for a fact that Jesus could heal. But now it was too late. His daughter was dead. This is a problem that no doctor, no traveling teacher can fix. But death would not reign on this day or any other in the kingdom of God. Overhearing the news spoken to Jairus, Jesus said to him, "Do not fear, me phobu, only believe." When they arrived at the house, it was a chaotic scene and there were many that were weeping and wailing. Jesus asked them why they carried on in such a way, why they acted as though the child was dead even though she was only sleeping, which only made them laugh at him. But like the disciples questioning in the crowd, Jesus is not turned away now by their laughter. The house was emptied and Jesus took Jairus and his wife and then his disciples and he went to where the child was sleeping. Taking her by the hand, he spoke to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And obeying the voice of her Savior, the child got up and began to walk around, to the fear and amazement of everyone in the room. But Jesus charged them that they were to tell no one what had happened to her. Two lives, two stories, at first glance very different from one another, and yet in the end very much the same. The grave sickness that leads to death, overcome by faith that trusts that Jesus is the Savior and the giver of life who controls even the power of death. Two helpless, hopeless situations, and yet there stands Jesus right in the middle, the Savior from sin and all its consequences in this life, even death. Do not fear, only believe. The world in which we live today seems so dramatically different, so far removed from this world in which Jesus lived. We believe that the doctors today can do so much more, so much better, so much faster. It's easy to think that this particular woman wouldn't have suffered for so long in our day and age, and that this little girl wouldn't have been near her eschaton, her end, with the right vaccines and pediatric care. But you all know someone who has struggled for years with a sickness that the doctors can't do anything about. Doctors aren't gods after all, even if many still think they are and put their trust in them over everything else. You also all know, some intimately, children who have died. So it may seem like things are very different today, but there is nothing new under the sun. Sin still rules in our mortal flesh, and everything around us crumbles and falls into decay because the world, too, is under the curse of man's sin. There is still sickness and disease and death, and you can argue that they've even gotten worse. The realities of this fallen world have not gone away, but here still stands Jesus, forgiving sins, giving life in the midst of death. You may not see his miraculous healing in this life. He might not save you right away or ever from the thorn that is in your flesh. And the reality that we know because of sin is that people die. One day you will die. But that doesn't change anything. That's what this text shows us. Jesus is the Lord of life, and he has defeated sin and death. Those who believe in him will only sleep and wait until the day of the resurrection. Those who trust in him will live even though they die. Jesus loves you just as much as he loved Jairus and Jairus' daughter, just as much as he loved this unnamed woman with the flow of blood. He gave his life to save yours just as he gave his life to save theirs. By his sacrificial death on the cross, he won forgiveness for all mankind. By his blood poured over you in holy baptism, you were and are and have been made clean. By his body given for you, you are fed and nourished for these days that are filled with so many evil things. These are his medicines for your benefit and good in this life and for eternal life. Do you believe this? Is this Jesus who healed the woman and raised the dead child your Savior from sin and sickness and death too? Do you believe that he has absolutely everything that you need? Do you trust in him as your only hope? If you knew where he was going to be, would you crowd around him, seeking his blessing and healing and good gifts and life? You do know where he's going to be, and exactly when, too. He is here now. He comes among us, sin-sick and conscience-bound sinners, bearing his gifts of forgiveness and life and setting us free. He comes to you in his word of absolution to take away your guilt and to set you free from shame. He is here. He comes to you in his prophetic and apostolic word read in your hearing that you would believe everything that has been written about him and know him to be the truth. He is here in his word preached by a sinner for sinners. He is here in his body and his blood given and shed for Christians to eat and drink for forgiveness, life, and salvation. He is here in his benediction as he promises to bless and keep you, to make his face shine upon you, to give you his peace that passes all understanding. Yes, he is here. And that is why you have come today, isn't it? That's why you are here. You know that Jesus saves, that only he can give you the comfort and peace that you need to face the troubles of this earthly life. You have come to receive what Jesus can offer, to be blessed in this life and for all eternity too. And you have come to the right place. Whether the world mocks it and laughs at it or not, your Lord is here in his mercy for your salvation. Believe these words. Take a deep breath. Do not fear. Only believe. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through His Word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.